Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back. I'm the God. I guess I'm flying solo today. That's okay. Ralph has flown solo before. Raphael has no problem doing that. Welcome to another Splendiferous episode. Come and see us out. One more chance to see us this summer. City Winery, July 20th, here in New York City. Make sure you guys subscribe to this podcast, leave a comment. Ways to support us, merch. You can go out and get your hat, your t-shirt at Search Engine. What is it? Merch Engine. MerchEngine.com. Get all your NNFA apparel and continue to come out and show love. Thank you, everybody in Houston who came out and showed some love at the Secret Group. Appreciate all the new fans and followers that we accumulated there. Make sure you're following the podcast at NNFApodcast.com. If you enjoy what we're talking about on today's episode and you got a comment that you want to leave in, call the hotline, 707-785-NNFA. That's 6632. 707-785-NNFA, or you can email us at noneedforapologiespodcast@gmail.com. Okay, let's get into today's show. We're going to talk to you about 10 ways to communicate better and effectively, not only in business, but in your personal relationships. Let's get started. There you go. Welcome to another splendiferous episode of No Need for Apologies. I'm the God, Dave Temple. I guess Derek did not make it back. Derek had a long weekend touring with Pete Davidson. I did see him for a little bit in Houston, Texas. One hell of a show we put on at the Secret Group. He flew back out the next morning. Who knows? Hopefully he's okay. Hopefully he's... I get it. Jet lag is a mother. Jet lag is a son of a gun. But it's okay. I am good at flying solo. And I'm actually not solo. I got a group of ladies in the booth. I got Tiana in the booth. I got Nat in the booth, the house cat. She rarely speaks, but she's here. She keeps us company, right?
I am.
Yeah, like a cat in a spaceship. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'll brush by your legs when you're least expecting it.
I guess I got to figure out a name for you guys now. I know Lewis calls it the bitch booth, and I'm not that type of person. I won't call you the bitch booth.
I mean, you know this is the fat Toto booth.
Right, that's what I was going to go. I was going to go with
we
Toto
got
Tower.
Fat pussy lips up in here.
Yeah, I was going to go with that, but you said you didn't want us to use Toto Tower.
Because Toto Tower sounds crazy.
That's like Mission Control. You know, it's a bunch of chicks landing planes at Toto Tower. Hey, no need for apologies.
Did
you're clear
see
for
the way
landing.
You say it? You want to say it like Tony Montana, and I don't like that.
Oh, man, come on. Tony Montana makes everything sound great. You ever hear Tony Montana order carrot cake? Huh? Call on how to carrot cake.
Nope. No.
Well, we got a great episode for you guys, man. This one I'm actually excited about. So, you know, we've been going on these temple runs. therapeutic, more adult conversations, and I'm enjoying it. Let me know if you guys are enjoying it. Call the hotline, you know, again, 707-785-6632. Leave a comment. Let us know how you feel about this, whether this is helping you or not. You know what I mean? Or feel free to email us or drop it right in the comments below. But today, we're going to talk about communicating effectively. Communicating effectively, and I'm saying it twice because you rarely hear a dude bring that up. You rarely hear a dude talk about, hey, man, we got to figure out how to communicate, which it sounds barbaric. It sounds almost like dudes are the ones, but no, that's not true because somehow somebody organized effective communication. Otherwise, the world wouldn't be the way it is. Somebody figured out how to communicate with people somehow to get something done, and I know it's possible. Now, I will take responsibility. I am a terrible communicator. Ladies, how do you guys think you guys do with communication? You're both in relationships. Tiana and I are in a relationship, so that's going to be expose some things here. But Natalie, how are you with communication?
I think I've gotten a lot better as a grown-up.
Yeah?
It's tough to communicate well as a young person in general. Like, you're not really taught to, be like, here's how I'm feeling without, getting mad or getting upset or whatever. And I feel like as an adult, I've gotten a lot better at it.
Yeah, yeah, because you got to come out of that shell, especially in your early 20s, where it's like, most of your teenage years, you had opinions and no one wanted to hear them. Nobody, not a teacher, not a coach, not a parent, not an older sibling, not a younger sibling. So now you're like 22 and people are like, all right, what's your opinion on this? And you're like, who are you talking to? I've shut away all my thoughts and feelings for the past decade. I I have no idea how to even tell you how I'm feeling. Tiana, what about you? How are you as a communicator?
Again, getting better, but I think my problem is I have a lot of the conversation with people in my head.
Mm.
And then I will probably actually start speaking mid-sentence. And then people are like, what? What are you talking about? And I'm like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. The first two sentences were in my head. I'm so sorry about that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's an interesting aspect of it, too. Because the first two that are in your head, that's not communicating at all. But then you're like, and bow, you're coming to get it.
Yeah, because in my mind, the whole thing is being clearly communicated. But I didn't actually say those first two things.
Right.
I came in hot mid-sentence.
Yeah.
Makes sense. What are you talking about?
Right. Yeah, and you catch yourself and you go, wait a minute. Let me back up. All right. But do you find as though that puts you at a disadvantage because they already know where you're going as you're trying to communicate? You've already kind of showed your hand. Because you're communicating like the third or fourth thing. And like you said, you left out the first two.
Yeah, because in fights, that does not, like when I'm arguing with someone, that's where I start to look like I'm either lying or I don't know what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Because I'm also fighting with that person half in my head, half out loud.
Interesting.
At the same time.
Yeah, fights and emotions make it weird, man. So that's what we're going to talk about, you know, controlling some of the emotions. I know for anybody who heard me say I'm a terrible communicator, I'm sure that's probably shocking. If you've ever seen me on stage, if you've listened to me communicate all the thoughts and ideas in my head on this podcast for years, just hours and hours of me talking, seem to be a very, very good communicator. Let me tell you something about that myth there. It's good on stage only because it's a one-sided conversation. Just like here on the podcast, it's a one-sided conversation. So I seem like a good communicator because I'm just pouring all of this stuff out, but there's no one to bounce it off. You know what I mean? And my message gets amplified because I'm always talking into a microphone. You know what I mean? Some people are just, you know, they mumble and all kinds of stuff like that. So that's one thing. At least I'm aware of that. And I see how frustrating that could be for anybody. That's like, I don't understand. This guy's comedy, this guy's skits, his thoughts, they're so well thought out, so composed. Why does he communicate so poorly? Well, I'm working on it too. I think we all are working on it. So let's get into the 10 steps of communicating effectively, all right? Here's obviously the first one, which is big, active listening. Now, it's crazy that the first step to communicating is actually not communicating. It's actually listening to somebody else, which is huge. You got to learn how to listen before you can learn how to communicate. You got to listen to somebody communicate good to learn how to communicate good. You got to listen to somebody communicate bad to know what not to do. So, you know, what exactly is active listening, man? Active listening is shit like showing concern. That's a big one. That's a big one. Nowadays, like, you ever talk to somebody that's like a little bit off? Like, you ever talk to an autistic person? There is no change in their facial expression, no matter what you say. You know what I mean? And you're like, am I getting to you? You know what I mean? Like, That's the thing. You almost give up on those people. Regular people do that too. A lot of us have the tendency to just go deaf and dumb while sitting there listening, you know, staring. Like, don't do this. Don't twirl your tongue while listening. Don't, tilt your head to the side.
Yeah, I mean, at least with autism, they have an excuse. Like, that's part of it.
Yeah.
The whole reason why they're autistic is because they don't participate in what we deem as like normal social cues, which mm-hmm. is looking at you in your eye when you're speaking to them, or, you know, whatever the case may be. But like, for the people who don't have autism, they're just weird.
Or maybe they do.
Maybe they
don't know it.
Yeah.
But here's some things that you can do that can show you actively listening. I found this list is kind of one of those things you kind of have to put it on. You kind of have to do it a little bit, like almost force yourself and exaggerate it before you can learn to actively do it. So it's like, all right, paraphrasing, showing you got it. As much as that sounds like kind of just regurgitating to them what they just said a little bit, just to show you heard it and you got it. And it's like, if you repeat it, you may not have got it, but repeating it now, you actually got it. I'm learning Spanish right now. I'm doing Duolingo. A big part of where I'm at with Duolingo is you gotta regurgitate the sentence, what you heard. So a lot of times when they say it the first time in Spanish, I get some of it, but it's not until I'm actually either writing it out myself or regurgitating it verbally where I'm like, oh, now I have all of it. But I had to sit there and actively listen. And the only thing that made me actively listen was knowing that I don't know what they're saying. That's the other thing. You have to know. I don't know what they about to say. A lot of people go listening to people, I already know what you're about to say. Hold on, let me stop you right there. That is the exact opposite of active listening. You got to assume, pretty much always understand, you have no idea what the people are about to say. Even if you think you know what they're about to say, just pretend you don't know. Just pretend you don't know. Eye contact is on this list also. Tiana mentioned that earlier. Eye contact one is big. You'd be surprised how much just looking somebody in the eye, leaning in, just a little head nod, how much that does just to let somebody know. Like, oh, puppets mastered that. That's why I learned that from Sesame Street. The puppets would nod their heads to show that they were listening. Kermit the Frog was always, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And it's like, oh, yeah, he gets it. You know what I mean? And he's half a coat. Most people don't just sit there and look at that. Little right on every now and again, you know what I mean? Derek is actually really good at that. I don't know if you guys ever noticed when Derek... Well, I don't know. I don't know whether Derek listens or not, but if you say something to Derek, he usually goes, dang!
It's tough to say if he's listening or if he's just a great actor, which is true that he is a great actor.
I am so... The dang seems so disingenuous, but I have started using it. Because it is such an enthusiastic reaction that no one can deny, oh, he was here, he was listening, so. And maybe that is, again, like I said, put it on. Put it on. Do a couple of hard thanks just until they become genuine, you know what I mean? Like, until you really feel like, dang, like, I did this to my daughter the other day, and it was funny because it actually worked. My daughter was on the phone complaining about little girl stuff. And I definitely hit her with the dang. And when I caught myself doing it, I was like, wow, that was disingenuous. But she didn't notice. And because I noticed, I had to actively pay attention to what the follow-up was from her. You know what I mean? And I was able to solve the problem. You know what I mean? Like, but yeah, man, go ahead. Give yourself some active listening. Give them a good dang. Give them a... Right on. Give them a, I heard that. You know what I mean? Pimps do that. I do that a lot, too. I'm a big, you know what I'm saying, kind of guy. That's my own call and response. But, yeah, pimps do that. You know what I mean? Yeah, I got you. Mm. All right. So what is the second step we got here? Verbal and nonverbal communication. Now, this is big. This is big. Now we're starting to get into actively speaking on your part. What's coming out of you? So let's start with the nonverbal communication forms first. Handshakes. Handshakes. I said it twice for a reason. Handshakes. A lot of people lost the art of shaking hands, man. I don't know what happened. Like, when I got to New York, I was blown away by the amount of weak handshakes, limp wrist handshakes, left-handed handshakes. Those were all things I was told were disrespectful when I was growing up. You don't present nobody with the left unless you it's disrespect.
Yeah, that's funny. We were talking about that the other day. I was telling you how it's interesting being a short person in this world who's told that they're short and tiny all the time, and at the same time being the person that shocks the person who goes, "Oh, wow, that was a good handshake." It's like, I'm not. Just because I'm small doesn't mean I don't know how to assert.
So you got a nice firm handshake there too?
Yeah, I for sure have a nice handshake. And it drives me insane, especially when women give half-assed handshakes.
Really?
Yeah, like, come on. These are the tiny things that make this whole movement worthwhile. So, not that stupid Cracker Jill shit.
Do ladies shake each other's hands when they meet on first attempt? Go ahead, you two shaking hands in there? Yeah, Natalie, you look like you got a firm shake.
I do.
Yeah.
I hope so.
Do you appreciate a firm handshake?
I do. Not a lot of people offer them to me, especially men often around here who would shake each other's hands don't give me a handshake.
Yeah. What do they give you, a hug?
Or a high five or whatever, like all sorts of shit.
Okay.
If they give you hugs, they're just trying to feel your titties.
I usually lead with a bump because I feel like that's safe. Because a handshake could lead into like one of these that I don't understand.
What's
like
that?
A bump or like a
chest
dap.
A body bump. Okay, yeah.
I never know what to do with that, so I always go fist first. But I've gotten some high fives.
You know what's funny?
I'm like,
that
I'm the only one
that?
Getting a high five. Because
it's an interesting message that you're sending when you give a chick a high five. Like, yo,
this is platonic. I am not trying anything with you. Do not be confused.
Doesn't mean that they don't want to. A lot of times, because I know if I do the high five, it's because I'm scared. Like, hey, you know what I mean? But these are good things to pay attention to because I'm giving off that message right away. If a woman is a businesswoman and she's looking for a firm handshake from a man who's ready to do business, and he's like, hey, high five. I just, I don't want to get in any trouble. Yeah, you're sending a strong message there, man. Even the same thing with the hug.
Yeah, especially in a business setting, high five, you don't respect me, and hug, you don't respect me, but you want to have sex with me, if that makes sense.
The high five?
Ooh. No, the hug.
The hug?
I will say this is not a normal professional business environment that we're in currently. So it's like things are a little different.
No,
around here.
But I will say this because the thing, like you said, you'll see guys walk through and give everyone a handshake or a pound or something like that. I know I'm bad. I give pounds. I give pounds to ladies in the office, but that's me trying to treat them as equals also because I feel like I don't want to size women up for a weak handshake. And I don't want to hold them to the same standard. You know what I mean?
But that's you being respectful. What I'm talking about is like for example, the nighttime security guard at my job.
Mm-hmm.
He gives everyone pounds and gives all the women hugs.
Okay.
And I always try to go in for the pounds so that I don't have to do the hug. And it's always this awkward like, oh. It's like, yeah, I'm not giving you a hug. We're not doing this nightly feel on my titties shit.
So this is also you non-verbally committing, hey, I have no interest in you sizing up my tits through a hug.
Yeah, you already have.
You're not trying
you're
to size up
hug.
The small of my back mm-hmm. or any of that. I don't want you to think of me that way.
Yeah, no thanks. Nor am I allowing you to even open that door.
Okay, how do you feel if a dude doesn't, like, you ever want to hug a dude and he doesn't hug you?
Well, I'm not a hugger.
Okay.
And that's probably from getting my ass beat my whole life, but I don't like to hug unless I really mean it.
Okay.
So, yeah, if I mean the hug and I go in for it and the guy doesn't give me a hug back, it's so awkward. It's okay.
Well, what about you, Nat? Are you a hugger?
Not like the way that some people are huggers, like that's their thing, but like around here, if it's someone I've seen a lot, and I'm not sure what to do, I'll say, like, do we hug? And usually that is, like, a funny thing
people respond to.
They're like, we can hug. But I usually say something in case they're like, I don't do that, that they can be like, all right. Like, yeah. I want to respect if someone doesn't want to hug that I don't have to hug them.
Okay, have either of you used a hug in a creepy sense? Like, have you ever just tried to feel a girl up a little bit? You know, like, all right, because you're a girl. You can go for the hug and no one's going to suspect that.
I've never, initiated it for that reason. but it's also like you get both.
Okay.
You know?
Till you had her hand up.
Oh, I totally have. Especially because I'm a sucker for like big old milky jugs. So if the girl's got like huge, huge natural ass milk titties, yeah. I'm like, give me a hug, girl. Come here, girl.
And you're sending mixed messages.
Come here, girl.
I'm into you, but not like that.
I do exactly what that security guard's trying to do. I'm like, come here, girl.
That's hilarious. One of the other nonverbal gestures is eye contact, right? Look, Natalie, you cringed at even the mention of eye contact. You had a physical reaction.
I'll show you the face I made. I went, like, because I know that I'm not good at it.
No? Okay, so what do you have, like, a time limit? Or
I'm too in my head.
Okay.
Like, if I'm staring, I'm like, am I looking the right amount? Like, I'm just thinking about performing, being a normal person the whole time.
Right, right, right.
Whereas, like, if it's someone I trust, if it's someone I know, it's not that big of a deal. But if it's someone I'm meeting, it's a little bit more difficult.
Yeah, I'm good at making eye contact, but I forget that my face will go dead. Because I'll be reading these people, you know what I mean? And then you watch them get uncomfortable. I had to learn eye contact, and the eye contact that made my face go dead, I actually had to learn how to make eye contact with a person with a lazy eye. 2005, I had a boss who had a lazy eye, right? Like this rich dude from Boston. I was working for this company, dining in. This guy came down. He's meeting all the people and he's talking. And I want to progress in this company. And they had one-on-one meetings with everybody. And this guy had a lazy eye and a very distractive, I wouldn't call it a lisp, but the way his tongue moved around in his mouth, it was very distracting. Okay, you about to say something?
That's not even fair, though. That's like an uphill battle. It's eye contact, the lisp, he's your boss.
Right.
Jeez.
So I had to, and I never forget afterwards, one of my coworkers, one of my homies, Tom, still a great friend of mine to this day, he's like, yeah, man. How did you do? I was like, it seemed like it went pretty well. And he was like, yeah. He talked to us afterwards. And he was like, yeah, Dave seems like a good guy, but he has trouble making eye contact. What's up with that, right? And they were laughing because they're like, yeah, you were scared of the lazy eye. You didn't want to look into it, did you? And I was like, no. And he gave me the best tip after laughing at me. They teased me for about 6 minutes. Then they gave me the best tip ever. And I'm going to give you this tip now also. Stare at the bridge of the nose. Boom. If you stare right here at the bridge of the nose, you're not creeped out by the eye. You're not creeped out by any weird mouth movements or anything weird that they're doing, but it looks like you're looking them in the face and taking them seriously. Right there at the bridge of the nose, man. Great advice right there. I still use it to this fucking day.
That's good advice.
Yeah.
Because I've been trying to work on my eye contact generally, but with people who have a lazy eye or something's going on where both eyes aren't working, I try to find the good eye, and then that's awkward because then you're like, okay, which one's the good eye?
Yeah, because we always think that the eye that's straight is the good eye.
Yeah, the bad eye is the good eye, and you're like, fuck.
I never know.
Which direction is that eye?
And that's the thing, man. If you got a lazy eye and you're in a position of power, take it easy on the people. Let them know. Give them that out. Because you have to know. You have to know. So tell somebody, hey, stare right here at my nose. Come on, just talk to me right here.
That would be nice.
Yeah.
That would be really nice.
All right, let's move on. Hey there, No Need listeners. This is The God, and I want to talk to you about Mango. Mango. That's M-A-N-G-O. They help men get hard and go hard. Now, I know when you come here to No Need for Apologies, you're listening to these black dudes talking and you're thinking like, these dudes probably have huge, huge erections. And you're goddamn right. You're goddamn right we are. Dude, we're young, healthy black men in our prime, okay? So if you want to fuck like the God, then go to Mango, all right? These are dissolvable tablets. They hit your bloodstream quicker, faster, like a black man, and they're mango flavored, which, come on, you know, that's a real fruit right there. That is a fruit that makes you ever eat mango or watermelon and you go like, okay, I see why the black dudes are doing so well. Well, listen, you might not be able to eat mango and watermelon, all of that kind of fruit, stuff like that. It's hard to get the fresh stuff. So go ahead and get yourself a tablet. They're individually packaged, for on the go. Carry them in your pocket like a little wallet. Like a little condom. They're 100% online. It's a free doctor visit, and there's no subscription required to try our mangoes. that's their little term for it. Our mangoes. That'll be your little term for it too. Make sure I got a little mango because I plan on tearing shorty down tonight. So go to mangorx.com. That's mango, MANGORX.com, and use the promo code GAS15, and our listeners receive 15% off your first order. That's promo code GAS15 for 15% off your first order. Do yourself a favor, man. You want to fuck like the god? Go to mangorx.com. See what it's like to have a big old black cock. Okay, it's not going to turn your cock black, but it will make it harder, thicker, and, well, not faster, slower. This is actually the one that's going to make it slower. It's going to slow down. All right, guys, let's get back into it. Third step here, communicating effectively in a difficult situation. Ooh, now we're getting down to that uncomfortable confrontation conversation. How do you communicate effectively when you're in the middle of a long-term conversation? Maybe you're trying to settle somebody hurting your feelings or trying to just communicate, hey, we need to get past this so that we can continue to work together, man. Now, this might be a little bit unorthodox, but this is what I would always recommend. If it's somebody you care about in any way, shape, or form, friend, family, whatever, and this is for my adults, for my 21 and over, you younger people, I don't know, you guys are going to have to slug it out a little bit. I don't know, maybe you can do this, but I'm going to say this. For the adults, if you drink or smoke, do it. Make sure you are sitting down to have this conversation. Hey, sit down with me. Have a drink. Have a smoke. Get into your feelings, because you are going to need to be able to express your feelings clearly, and that's going to require releasing some inhibitions. So be okay with going, hey, I need to talk to you. We're going to sit down for a minute. Let's smoke. Let's drink or whatever we got to do. And you'll feel it right there at that point where you go like, all right, my inhibitions are released and I can go ahead and say what's on my mind clearly. What's up, Jay? Now, you had a comment?
I was just going to say that you have to toe the line of like not too far.
One drink.
Yeah, yeah. I think one drink is safe. I feel like because I just had I like mediated a thing that my friends were having a conversation like this recently, and the one who initiated it brought a bunch of drinks and was drinking a bunch, and then the other one was like, nah, and didn't drink at all. And it was this like weird, it made a weird imbalance.
So and I will like say this, if you go to propose it that way, where you go, hey, let's sit down and have a drink, and that person's go, I don't want to drink. I'm not drinking with you. You can't have a conversation. Not right now. They're not ready. They're not ready. And that's the biggest thing, is at least the alcohol or the smoking of one drink or half a joint or half a cigarette, whatever you guys need to do, it stops everything for a second to the point where you guys can get to the same place. Go ahead, Tay.
Yeah, this is a terrible example, but I used to watch this millionaire dating show, and the woman who was the matchmaker, her two rules were two drink minimum, no sex on the first date. That was her only rule to both the women that she would get for these men and mm-hmm. the men who would pay for her the matchmaking service. And you could always tell by the men who were like taking the service seriously, because they would just brush that detail over. They'd be like, okay, cool, that sounds cool. But the guys who were kind of fucking around, they'd be like, two, that's it? That's not enough.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound like a lot, and she would go through with it obviously because they were paying.
Mm-hmm.
But you're like, yeah, they don't care about this.
It's too. I mean, even you watch shows like Mad Men or even those movies back in the day, like The Godfather and stuff like that. When guys came in to discuss business, sit down, let me pour you a drink, and they have a little sip, and then they get down to business. You know what I mean? But you don't go beyond that three drink level. Like, even when you see the shit getting hard, you go, oh, hold on, let me take a second. Let me pour another one. You know what I mean? Then this is the other thing. You have to tell the person what you were doing. All right? You can't go, come on over here, I need to talk to you. Sit down and have a drink first. You go, no. Let them know, hey, listen, I'm following some advice here. I'm trying to get us on the same playing field. And it's cool if they're not ready to talk. That's the other thing. You got to be okay with the fact that if you're trying to solve a problem and this person's not ready to talk, they're not ready to talk, man. But y'all got to be in a position where y'all can see things and at least hear things from each other's perspective. Take into consideration that you could be the villain in this situation. That's the reason why you got to release your inhibitions. You could absolutely be the villain. And you have to be okay with that going into it. If you hit an impasse where you guys are getting heated over whatever the thing is, don't be afraid to take a break. Do not be afraid to take a break. And this is a phrase that will always save anything if you're trying to work out a difficult situation. Agree to disagree. Agree to disagree. That is the biggest thing. Because here's the thing. When you come to agree to disagree, you have tapped into a core value or a core belief that is not allowing that person to switch over. And yeah, you'd have to know that person in depth to understand that core belief. You know what I mean? Like, you just mentioned something earlier, T. You was like, hey, I don't like getting hugged because, would you say something happened as a kid or something like that?
I said it's probably from all the abuse.
From abuse, right. Okay, but here's the thing. Like, if someone wants to sit down and talk to you and be like, hey, man, Tiana, I've known you for a long time, and I just want to have a drink. Talk to you, it really bothers me that you don't hug. Boom, this is the conversation that they're going back and forth with, right? And now you, hey, look, it's just not going to happen, blah, blah, blah. Agree to disagree, because they would have to dig into your past trauma to understand who you are, to get that perspective of like, hey, I don't hug.
Yeah.
You might not be willing to go there. So when a motherfucker puts that border up to go, hey, agree to disagree, like I'm never going to hug you, you kind of have to accept that.
Yeah, I kind of went through that with my co-worker. She's like, she grew up in a very pie making household, and so she's very homely and huggy, and her mom are best friends, and it's cute, whatever, but that's not what I am. And she, I told her my boundary, and you can see herself like sucking it all in every time she tries to go to hug me.
Mm-hmm.
She just goes whoop, and she kind of just like stiffens her arms next to her body because she knows that I don't like it. But when I left, I was like, you know, give me a hug, girl. Come here.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Good for you.
Just as a
good
way
for
to
her.
Halfway. Cause, yeah. Because, yeah, I mean, if you're going to push, I'm not going to not lie. So
yeah.
I'll tell you the truth. It's going to be really heavy. And you're going to be like, oh, my God.
And that's good. You were able to meet her the other way. Because if she had that kind of physical reaction of like, it's probably hurting her to not hug, which is weird that some people have
that. I know. It's so, like nice people trying to be polite.
Right.
It's so hard for them.
Which is my final step for this one. And that is always look after yourself. If you come to a situation where it's an agree to disagree, you can't get them to see your point, you can't get them to change in their core value or their core belief to see things your way and start doing it your way, agree to disagree, but protect yourself. Meaning, hey, I don't have to keep engaging with this person, but I did try. We had to sit down. We had it all out. We both understand where each other coming from. We both understand they're not going to budge. I'm not going anywhere near that person because I got to protect myself. It hurts me not to hug. All right. Number four is understanding different communication styles. Net, there is a article that I have. You could pull this up. It's it breaks down the different types. There's seven different types of communication styles. So we're not talking about language or anything like that. We're just talking about like the basic breakdowns of people's personalities and how they interact with other people. Do you see the first style up there? What's the first name? What's the name of the first style they got up here?
So the first one is assertive. Do you want me to pull it up?
Yeah. Pull it up. And if you could read it out loud for the people that's not watching video, but just listening at home.
So it says this is one of the most recommended communication styles and reflects and promotes high self-esteem. A person employing this style would be able to achieve their goals without having to hurt others. So you use assertiveness. Assertive communication means making choices and taking responsibility for them, asking directly what needs to be met, expressing feelings with I statements, and accepting that there is a possibility of disagreement. It also involves good eye contact, use of even, rounded, and expansive gestures, and medium pitch, speed, and volume. That's so interesting that it gets that specific.
Mm-hmm.
People on the receiving end are able to be clear about what's expected or felt because they know where they stand. This will mean more respect and makes it much easier to communicate with assertive communication style. you feel good about yourself and leave the other person feeling respected and heard.
All right. So this is cool, because as we go through these, I do kind of want, because I know when I was reading these, when it hits you and you see your style, it's almost kind of triggering. All right. So I kind of want you guys to take note and figure out which ones you guys are. Knowing that there's probably going to be some overlap also. You know what I mean? So assertive. I know I have some assertive qualities with my style of communication. I know I'm not 100% assertive. Okay. What's the next one?
All right, the next one is the aggressive style.
Okay, aggressive. I like it. Black Air Force One energy. Let's hear it.
The style involves winning, even if it is at someone else's expense.
You're goddamn right.
People employing this method usually feel like their needs are far much more important than that of others. They feel like they have more rights and are the ones who contribute more compared to other people. Aggressive communication can involve using frightening, loud, threatening, and hostile voice. It relies on intimidating, not respecting, or bullying other people in order to achieve their goals, and they are always out to win. The posture seems bigger than others, and they use fast, big, and sharp gestures when talking.
Hmm.
Every method they employ to communicate is there to intimidate the other person and make them do what they want.
Damn.
Many people try their best to avoid confrontation, and this is why there are people who will do what they don't want to do in order to end the confrontation. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. Which is actually, like, pretty genius. Like, okay, we all know people like this. We all know people who have the aggressive style.
Right. The problem is when two aggressive people, like, hit and then it's just, like, knocking heads together.
Yeah, yeah,
neither
yeah.
Neither of them is going to back down from it.
Nah, not until they have a drink and sit down first.
Yeah. Yeah.
But here's the thing about the aggressive style. Even though it makes people feel bad, you're like, that guy doesn't feel bad. You know what I mean? Like, it's like almost hard to pinpoint, like, because you hear the phrase aggressive style and it sounds like it should be bad. Just because aggressive is bad now in 2023. Being aggressive is bad. But as you see, there's so many people that would avoid conflict that you're like, yeah, why not just be aggressive and get your goddamn way? Do either of you have an aggressive streak in you or an assertive streak in you?
Not at all.
Not at all?
What? Yeah. Me aggressive?
Yeah.
I'm joking. I'm hella aggressive.
Hella aggressive?
That's my entire problem.
Yeah, yeah. Straight New York. I'm from New York, son.
Well, no, it's not even that. My aggressiveness, I think my aggressiveness has stopped me from getting into fights.
Okay.
Because people are like, oh, she means business.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I don't know how to turn it off even when I'm being positive.
Yeah.
So half the time people are like, are you upset? I'm like, no, I'm not upset. You sure you're not upset? Because you sound upset. And now I'm going to get upset. Because you keep asking me if I'm upset and I'm not upset.
Maybe I am upset.
Yeah.
You keep saying exactly. All right. What's the next one on the list, Jeanette?
All right. The next one is passive-aggressive style. My least favorite. This communication style involves being passive on the surface, but actually acting out anger indirectly or behind the scenes. In order to deal with an overwhelming lack of power, prisoners of war will resort to employing this communication style. It's kind of a weird thing to include. They usually express their feelings through subtle undermining of the object of their resentment, even if it means sabotaging themselves. The perfect way to describe this method is the expression, cutting off your nose to spite your face.
Mm.
People who use this style are often indirectly aggressive, devious, sulky, complaining, devious, and patronizing. They gossip, they'll pretend to be pleasant with people to their faces, but become poisonous behind their backs by using rumors and sabotage. They are able to fool people because they use a sweet and sugary voice telling people what they want to hear, and this will make it harder for the other party to notice what's going on. People on the receiving end will feel hurt, angry, confused, and also resentful. This will make it harder for them to trust the person in the future and may be unwilling to work with them. This style will sometimes get you the results you wanted, but it will have a lasting effect for a long time.
That is fascinating. You said this is your least favorite.
Yeah. I was dealing with some people like
passive aggressive people.
Yeah.
Okay. This one, I'm not gonna lie, this one triggered me a little bit because I'm like, fuck, I have some of this. I'm not all of this, but I'm like, shit, man. Like, and they make it sound so bad. Like, you know what I mean? We're just like, because in my mind, I don't think I'm being passive aggressive. In my mind, I think I'm trying to avoid physical confrontation because it is so frowned upon. You know what I mean? And I know it's poor communication that I don't know the way to communicate, you know, or at least a way to assert myself and ensure that it won't come to violence on the other person's end. What are you about to say there, T?
I don't think it's wrong that everyone... I think everyone has this passive aggressiveness to them.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, especially in today's society, social media has allowed more people to live in a space of passive aggressiveness.
Yeah.
Where they could flat out post something without your name, but every other detail, everything in the picture and whatever, whatever, implicates that it's about you.
Right, right.
And they could just live in that space of like, what? I didn't put your name. What? I'm not talking about you. What? What are you talking about? And it's like, oh, so if I punch you in the face right now, I'm wrong.
Yeah, because they're playing the game. They're playing the line to keep it from being that. This is what they feel like doing. Like they said, they feel powerless in this situation. And that was the part that's like, wow, okay. Like I get it. It's like, yeah, if you're a prisoner, they said the prisoner of war, which is like, that's a weird thing. But yeah, inmates do shit like that. Hey, man, I'm going on a hunger strike because you guys aren't treating us well in here. Like, we don't have any other power to do anything else. So now we're just going to kind of drink this poison and hope that it affects you in some way, shape, or form. It's fucked up, but I get it, man. I get it. All right, what you got next? Hey there, responsible adults over the age of 21 living in the states where Delta 8 is legal. Do you want to get high? Like really high, like super duper legally high, or like we were talking about today, if you just need to sit down and hash out a problem with someone and you're having trouble communicating, well, you need to get you some Delta 8. Get you some Delta 8. Go to yoDelta.com. Order you some pre-rolled, high-quality, lab-tested Delta 8 joints where you can sit down and work out your problems with all your friends. Okay, wait. What is Delta 8? Well, I'll tell you. It's found in hemp and can be shipped to various states legally, and it gets you high. It makes you relax and release all your inhibitions. So at yoDelta.com, you'll find a mix of gummies, vapes, pre-rolls, whatever you need to get stoned and relax and have those difficult conversations. I can tell you Delta 8 works and it should be used responsibly, okay? Don't go smoking it at the airport thinking, oh, well, you know, it's Delta 8, it's legal. No, it will get you stoned. So if you got a long flight, yeah, don't smoke too much of this because you'll be on the pen. I'm locked in the bathroom. No, don't do that to yourself. It's quality. It's lab tested, all right? It's a guy with a beaker and a lab coat and a clipboard, all right? So if this is what you want and you're into this, go to Delta.com, the official Delta 8 sponsor of the Gas Digital Network. And if you use promo code GAS, you're going to get 25% off. One more time, that's promo code GAS, G-A-S, for 25% off. Yo Delta, home of the Delta 8 that will get you super high. Let's get back into it.
The next one is the submissive style. People who use this style are the ones looking to please other people and avoid conflicts. People with this type of communication will put their needs, the needs of others before theirs because they see other people's needs as being more important than theirs. They will not contribute much because they don't see it as being good enough as that of other people because they think the other people have more rights than them. Using this method will leave you feeling inferior and you will have a hard time with your colleagues and friends. Being a doormat is never the best option and is harmful to self-esteem. They tend to bomb others for events. And will always make them always feel like they're the victim. They will also find it hard to take responsibility or make decisions. The other person on the receiving end will feel guilty, frustrated, and exasperated. They will see this as an opportunity to take advantage of you again, and resentment can build, distancing you from others.
Ooh.
That's an interesting little piece at the end.
Yeah.
Where it's like, yeah, if you do this to people, like, that's one where you start and it's like, oh, if you're dealing with someone like that, it's fine. Like, they take all the responsibility, but then you leave feeling like guilty and like confused, and that's not good either.
Hold on, say this again.
I feel
you
like
said you'll leave feeling guilty and confused.
Yeah, it's like, well, that's what it's saying here is that like if someone uses this on you, you're gonna feel guilty for something because they're like, it's fine, I'll do it, I'm the problem, like that kind of thing,
right?
And then the other person is like, I didn't ask for that.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, that damsel in distress type mentality. Yeah, submissive.
I need help. You're fine. You don't have to help me. It's fine. I'll help you out.
And you'd be like, all right, fine. I'll help you out there. What'd you get?
That's why I don't like Lois Lane from Superman.
Oh, yeah.
She lives in that space. Oh, my God.
Submissive.
Because in my mind, as a reporter, she knows that she could get herself into a little bit more trouble than normal.
Mm-hmm.
Because Superman will just like swoop out of nowhere and save her as she falls off the Empire State Building.
Yeah.
Very annoying.
Yeah. Just submit to it. Superman will fix it.
Exactly.
Oy, yeah. That's also a big thing that dads go through. Dads, as a dad, you'll find if you come home, it is your job. Things have been broken all day long and no one even tried to fix them. They're just like, and you're like, fine, I guess I'll try that one. All right, go ahead. What you got next?
All right, the next one is the manipulative style.
Okay.
This style is scheming, calculating, and shrewd. People who use this style are very skilled at controlling or influencing others for their own advantage. They have spoken words that hide underlying messages and the other person doesn't know what it is. Manipulating can seem like an effective method to get your way, but it comes at an expense. People who do this don't have regard for other people and are focused on what they're going to get in the end. They don't ask directly for their needs to be met. They guilt other people. They can employ artificial tears to make it look more real. This sounds like it came from a personal place of the person writing this. They're like, yeah, and they add and they fake cry and they use. What is quote hangdog expression?
They use hangdog expressions,
making it much harder to say no to them. Their voice is envious, patronizing, high pitched, and ingratiating. I'm going to Google what hangdog
is. Yeah, hangdog expression. See what that means.
People on the receiving end will feel guilt and be ready to help them in any way that they can. They can start to develop feelings of frustration and resentfulness.
Oh, that's probably people who come in from the rip just downloading all of their problems. You ever meet those people that as soon as you walk in, hey, what's going on? How you doing? And how you doing is for some reason like this diatribe of how they're really doing and what they really need help with. And they will guilt you into trying to solve this because you're just a person having to be like, well, have you tried this? Have you tried? And before you know it, you're fully invested in these people's problems.
So hangdog is looking sad, guilty, or ashamed. So like basically what Puss in Boots does to his enemies.
From the rip.
Give him the big sad eyes.
Oh, God.
But you know what? This fucking job. I've been through this exactly at my job. I caught someone plagiarizing.
Mm-hmm.
Flat out, they were going to go to air and re-say what was written in someone's published article online. And I have like screenshots, caught the person, told my superior. The superior gave them the benefit of the doubt by just kind of being like, oh, well, let's see what they say. And that person went straight to tears on some like...
At work?
At work, like, I swear to God, it wasn't finished. This is just my process. I copy it, and then I change some words so that it sounds like me. And I was just like, yeah, that's such a lie. I have, like, so many ways of proving that you told me this was finished.
Yeah.
And so these tears helped you in this situation because the person that you gave the tears to will believe you because you're pretty.
Damn. I have never cried at work. I just want to see if it'll get me anywhere. I'm 6'3", 225 pounds. Do you think if I were to cry here at Gas Digital, anybody would like even be like, what's wrong, Dave? Or would they be like, oh, that's weird.
Like we laughed at R. Kelly.
I was going to say the opposite. It's like, if you see me cry at work, it's like, oh, what? Of course this bitch is fucking crying. If I saw you cry, I'd be like, oh my God, did someone die? Like, I'd be like, that's something's pretty much the only really reason. Wrong.
Yeah, like someone would have to die. And even then I'd be like, I need to leave. You know what I mean? I don't think I would cry at work. There's no reason to cry at work.
I've definitely cried at work.
Yeah, like in front of people, or you stepped out? Like someone was talking to you and you cried to get your way? Or?
Well, no. It was like in like behavior, not behavioral, but like performance meetings where my performance depended on my check. And they were like, you're just not performing. And I'm like, I swear to God, I'm trying my best. But in terms of like, I have a problem.
Yeah.
I will step away and go cry and come back. There's a famous scene in the first episode of Mad Men where the office manager gives the new girl a tour and she gives her the complete quote unquote tour as a woman.
Mm-hmm.
She takes her to the bathroom and she goes, don't you ever cry at work.
Yeah.
That's the worst thing you could do is cry here, especially in this bathroom. wait until you get home, she basically tells her to cry. Don't cry here. This is not the space, especially like as a woman in the 60s, like, no, don't do it.
I think I understood that too. Like if I like if what you were just talking about, someone was to talk to me about my performance and tell me that my performance was not up to par for me to keep getting a check or keep get the raise that I thought I was due, I might well up and feel like crying, but whew, I'm holding on to that, man. I got to get out of this office and then maybe get to the street somewhere.
Well, yeah, I mean, I have a problem regulating my emotions. So some people have that problem too.
Yeah.
But there's a vast difference between someone who doesn't know how to stop the tears and someone who could just turn them on when they need to.
That's the manipulation style. Yeah, the people who can turn them on, which is like, what did you do to practice that? What did you do to practice?
Can you cry on command? Like if you got an acting gig and they were like, we need you to cry. I can't do it. I can't cry on command.
Because they say you got to think of something real sad.
Okay,
right?
Let's see.
I don't even know what to think of that's sad. Like, all right, we should do when Derek is back. Because I think Derek can do it. I think Derek can do it, and I want to see if we could like try to if he can teach me how to cry on command, and then we could just try that out. It's almost like that game, that Ookie Cookie game that white frat dudes come up with. This should be a black frat game. Is like,
what the hell is a Ookie Cookie game?
The Ookie Cookie game. You don't know the Ookie Cookie?
No.
Really, Natalie, you know the Ookie Cookie, right?
Yeah, but I'm not going to describe it in my own words. I'm just going to look up a definition of it.
Yeah, okay. See if they have a definition of Ookie Cookie. I'm supposed to be giving out self-help. What are we talking about? Ookie Cookie, which is self-help. I think that this is real. Ookie Cookie, okay.
Oh, it's
called Soggy Biscuit, some people call it. Okay.
Ew.
Soggy Biscuit, a male group. Is a male group masturbation activity in which the participants stand around a biscuit, UK, or cookie in the United States, masturbating and ejaculating onto the cookie. The last person to do it must eat it. So apparently this is like some sort of game of like focus, like get the mission done at all costs. And if you are the last person, you failed this mission so much.
This is beyond frustrating for me because... This is going to go totally off topic, but it's frustrating for me because like men who claim to be hella straight don't understand that gender is fluid, that sexuality is fluid. And this is a prime example of what straight men do with a sexually fluid game. And they're all like, you ate my jizz. That's hilarious. It's like, no, you guys kind of like this. Yeah, there's a little gay in it. Like, you're not fully gay. Maybe you don't want to, like, date a guy or take it in the butt or give it in the butt, whatever. But, like, you're a little fluid.
But if there's a way I could taste eight of my best friends at the same time.
Exactly. Or, like, frat brothers who spank each other with the paddle. It's a little homoerotic. Okay?
I'll probably get in trouble for mentioning this because it's 2023 and it's a different generation. But when we were kids, elementary school, so I'm talking the 80s, early 90s, we played a game called Catch a Girl, Freak a Girl. Catch a Girl, Freak a Girl was weird. Right before recess, you look at all the girls in the room, like, yo, you playing? You playing? All right. So that was the consent part because you would find the girls that were playing. And the initial game was just, hey, just run around. And anywhere we catch you, it's almost like tag, where I catch you and tag you. But instead of you being it, I'm going to dry hump you for a little bit and then get up and run and go chase somebody else.
This is all just nonverbal communication. Let's bring it back to the conversation, okay? You guys are nonverbally communicating that y'all want to fuck. And this Ookie Cookie game, you're nonverbally communicating that you secretly want a part of you inside of me, okay?
But here's
whether
the thing.
It's your jizz or your spit or your actual
the
dick.
Reason why I brought up Catch a Girl, Freak a Girl was because there was something to be said about the girl who's running extra slow today. It's like, oh, she's totally with it. She's okay with being the slowest girl in the group, right? Because she's here for all of the nonsense. So, yeah, the person that's finishing last, he's probably here for all the nonsense. All right, what's the next communication style?
All right, I'll keep it quick because we're running out of time. Yeah. The next one is direct, and then there's indirect. So direct is a style where the speaker doesn't mask the message he wants to pass across. It involves using clear language that can be easily understood by the other person. The culture of the person can sometimes determine the right style to use in the situation.
Yeah.
The person on the receiving end will be able to know what you're saying without having to beat around the bush.
Yeah.
And then there's indirect, which is the opposite. And people employing this style tend to mask their intentions and needs. It is hard to know what they're looking to achieve. It can be hard for a person to decipher what you're trying to communicate, especially if they're not accustomed to this particular group. This can cause a lot of problems, especially if you're supposed to work.
Yeah, go to that part too where it says a thing, because there's a thing like if you'll emit a loud, exasperated sigh. This is a perfect example of indirect communication.
All right. This can sometimes employ the use of facial expressions or subtle signs. If you say you don't approve of a certain habit by a coworker, you may emit a loud, exasperated sigh or glare at the person whenever they do it. The person on the receiving end may not understand what is wrong and might end up thinking that you don't like them for no particular reason.
Right. And it's I see this a lot. I see this a lot. There's a lot of people who will X people out of a group for some weird social faux pas that they did not know that they crossed the line or whatever, and this is the way that they let them know. I just took a flight. I was just on a flight. That's what people do on a flight. Why does this person not put their headphone? Oh my God, what are you, crazy? And it's like, hey, turn around, tell them. Be a bit more assertive. But this, it's not going to get you anywhere, man. So that's what I'm saying. It's important, understand the different types. Because once you become aware of what other people are doing, one, it's going to make you a better communicator, because all the communication that you see that you disapprove of, all of that kind of stuff, that you're like, oh, that could be done better. That could be done with a bit more tact. I'm like, hey, let me go ahead and work on myself. All right. We spent a lot of time on that one. Let's try to hurry up and get through these next ones here. Next up, overcoming communication barriers, such as cultural or language differences. All right. This to me is wild, because it is key, overcoming differences. Like, if you and I don't speak the same language, but we got to get something across, we figure it out, right? That comes with patience. And now that we've seen the different types of communications, we've seen 7 different types of communication thing, you see, oh, literally, most of us just do not speak the same language, verbally and non-verbally. I'm not talking about your dialect. I'm talking about just how you communicate, whether you make eye contact, whether you shake hands, whether or not you're a toucher, or you know what I mean, whether you're passive aggressive or indirect, whatever the case might be. But understanding those different styles, almost treating a person like a deaf person. Like, oh, you communicate that way, not this way. So I got to find another way. You know what I mean? And you got to really be sensitive and be open to that. What you got to?
Yeah, this is a prime example of why it's really good for people to leave their house, their town, their city, and like get to know different cultures, because Black people, Latin people, Italian people, for the most part, we all speak with our hands, mm-hmm. and we seem aggressive to people who don't do that.
Mm.
And it's the same thing with like Eastern Europeans. Their language sounds aggressive to us who don't understand what they're saying.
Yeah.
So there's just like certain things that you learn by traveling. So like, get out of your house so you can learn.
All right. I'm going to skip ahead now to, this is one of the more important ones that I wanted to go over. The impact of technology on communication. So technology now, we've all got smartphones in our pocket. We have the ability to communicate with almost everybody at any corner of the planet instantly. And we don't. We don't. That's the crazy. It's like, you can use social media to talk to someone directly. You can pick up the phone. You can call. Minutes are unlimited. Text messaging is unlimited. You have a direct line to all of your friends. You can do group chats and talk with people all day long. The communication never has to end. Yet we barely speak to one another. Like, all right, how many people would you each say you talk to on the phone regularly? Like, how many people do you have in your life that you have a conversation with on the phone?
Three. Yeah. Something
yeah.
Like that.
How many contacts would you say you have in your phone?
Like 100.
T, what about you? What are you at? I know I'm at like, I got to have like over 2,500 contacts in my phone. And I talk to like 4 people.
This is so sad. This is so sad.
Mm-hmm.
I only speak to you on the phone.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't like everything else is text messages and emails.
Yeah, like I'll occasionally FaceTime my girlfriends who don't live in New York anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the time, text message, DMs on various social platforms. When I was living with my mother, she would text me to come eat. That's how much we don't talk to each other.
It also shows there's some room there. You know what I mean? Y'all not just yelling. Ah! You know what I mean? But
you know, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what that... I know my response time is bad with both returning calls and texts. Because now I get away from the phone as much as I can. And I try to batch respond to my text messages, which I don't know whether that's healthy or not, but I was doing it like the same way people do emails. Like, all right, I'll get to my text messages at noon. You know what I mean? And like, cause there's, what else? I don't know what people have to say that's that important. There's not like, if I'm asleep, there's nothing I can do. You know what I mean? If I'm not in front of or dealing with that thing right now, there's nothing I can do. And in the process of me trying to streamline my focus on other things, I've gotten really, really bad at responding to text messages in a timely fashion. And I don't know, man. I don't know. This is one area where you guys can let me know where how to help, because I don't have any ideas on how to improve this. In fact, I've noticed how bad it is with people that we are not talking to one another. I snapped a picture today in the park. Could you pull this picture up for me, Natalie? This is a prime example of how technology has ruined people. Okay, so this is my park in the morning, right? These are two dudes who, one, they brought their dogs to the people part of the playground. You've heard me and Derek complain about this for a while. On the other side of that fence, there are two dog parks. And these people brought their dogs to the people park, right? Fine. You don't want your dog to play with other dogs. You're here to play with your dog, and you want to play with your dog exclusively. But in this picture, this is what happens when a dog makes friends with another dog, and the two humans don't know what to do with themselves. Like, usually people, like, when your dogs play, and I think that's a rule, right? If your dog plays with another dog, you kind of have to go over and say a little something, right? You guys kind of have to give each other a little bit of a head nod or something.
I think a lot of these weirdo, I need a dog to feel better about my life people did not think about that step.
Right.
You see them out in the street, and their dogs are like sniffing each other's butts, doing the dog thing, and they're all like not looking at the floor, not even talking to each other. And then there are the people who use the dog to talk to people.
Right.
And those interactions are also hilarious.
Both of these guys seem like these type of people that use the dog to talk to people. But the problem was the park was torn apart. Puerto Rican Day Parade was yesterday. This park is a mess. I mean, there's broken glass. There's trash everywhere on the field. Don't get upset. It's there. It's happening.
It's there. It's like that every day.
No, it's not.
Because of the Puerto Ricans.
It's not.
It's not because of the
Puerto
Ricans.
As a matter of fact, I almost looked at these people today like you're irresponsible for you. You're so anti your dog playing with other dogs. You're going to bring your dog over here to play in broken glass because you don't want him to play with other dogs.
Oh,
stop.
They don't know that. They don't know that.
They see it. There's glass everywhere. I don't have a picture of the park. I'll show you guys a picture of the park afterwards. But yeah, man, I think dudes don't know what to do if it's not a chick. If it's not a chick with her dog that just walked up, they don't know how to start that conversation or you know, what to do with that. So, yeah, man, write in, leave a comment here. Let me know, you know, what are your takes or your suggestions to get around technology kind of really suppressing the way we communicate. I've actually tried. I have an hour of the day that is my call out hour. It is like a designated hour. Hey, be on the phone with somebody, right? And this was supposed to be like networking or making the calls that I'm supposed to make, you know what I mean? Schmoozing with people. And I actually just tried to use that to just talk to some of my friends. You know what I mean? Like, all right, I'll just call them, see what they're doing. If they answer, great.
Both are important.
What, just reaching out to people?
Both networking and talking to people that you like and are friends with.
Yeah, here's the thing I get a little bit scared with networking is when you're trying to find something to talk about, you start talking about anything. Talk about stuff you probably don't have no business. I don't want to be networking just by being on the phone gossiping about whatever. And I understand that's a big part of it, but that ain't for me. And I don't want to get caught up in that. I don't know where people are, where, you know, how they hold their stuff on that. All right. I got time for one more. All right, let me try to get one more in, and then we get out of here. All right. This last one I'm going to talk about, the intersection of emotional intelligence and effective communication. Emotional intelligence is a wild one. You know, this is where you got to be a bit more in tune with what other people are feeling, and have the ability on how to navigate when someone's coming at you incorrectly. We've gone through an entire list of ways to communicate effectively, and you're still going to come across people who have no idea that this list exists. Some people who have not tried to learn any of this shit, and they're still going to come at you every day. With emotional intelligence, you'll understand the feelings and needs of other people, and you'll respond in a way that kind of meets their needs. The biggest takeaway is you can peep when someone's not working on themselves. You, especially if you're working on yourself and you're working on these things, you can see when somebody is not communicating effectively. And basically, you'll know how to like navigate to not get trapped or get caught up in this person's like, ugh, their web of whatever. Like, I'll put it to you like this. If you are ever in a conversation and you feel like you're losing the argument, it's because you are. It's because you are. Like, if you feel like you're already, you fell into the trap. You've fallen into someone's trap and you're going back and forth having this verbal ping pong with them, you know what I mean? And they're not looking to solve anything. They're just there to spin your wheel. So that is the dead giveaway for emotional intelligence. If you ever feel like you are arguing with someone and you're losing that argument, that means you're not getting your point across. This person has pulled you in, and this is where you have to learn to agree to disagree. Back off. I've learned this about myself. I will flee in an absolute heartbeat. Like, if I am in an argument on the phone, which is probably why I don't talk on the phone that much, I will hang up in a heartbeat and block this person so that they cannot get through for the rest of the day. And I sometimes forget to unblock people, you know what I mean? But it's just like, I know most people do not have that self-control when you hang up on a motherfucker to not call you back. Like, I went through this, my first baby mom, oh my God. I went through a period where I was like cutting her off, didn't want to talk to her, this girl. Thank you Nextel for the first call block feature. Nextel was the first phone that was like, hey, 5 people from your contacts, that's all who get in. T-Mobile stole it from them, by the way. You know what I mean? With the Fave 5. But Nextel was the first one. Pick 5 people from your contact, everybody else goes straight to voicemail. But you'll see the missed calls, and I lie to you not, 30 sometimes 33 times an hour.
Isn't that enough to get a restraining order? That's a lot.
Yeah, but...
What's the math? You're a mathematician.
Mm-hmm.
1 hour. How many times a minute is she calling you?
Probably as many as the redial will allow. You know what I mean? I mean, that's the reality of it. Between a ring... Between the dial, the calling thing, showing it connects. This is also like this is early 2000s.
Yeah,
this is early 2000s. So yeah, you're talking about probably one call every 30 seconds. You know what I mean? In order for her to get, maybe a little bit more than that. One call
probably
every
like
minute.
Yeah.
Yeah, for them to call, get. I guess
that's
back
dedication.
Then it didn't go straight to voicemail. It would ring a little bit, and then you would have to hear the voicemail. You know what I mean? So yeah, man. I'll flee in a heartbeat. I'm not going to go back and forth and communicate with someone who is not working on their communication. And I would implore that you don't do the same either, man. This was a fun one. Thank you guys for tuning in. I am so curious as I keep going on these tempo runs, whether you guys enjoy this show or not. Leave a comment. Let me know if you like more of this kind of stuff, or, you know, we can go back to reviewing videos of people falling down and, you know, talking about basketball players showing guns online and all kinds of pop culture that's going on out there in the world. Thank you guys for tuning in. Natalie, say goodbye to the people.
Bye, everyone. Follow Natalie DeChico Edits on Instagram and watch Gas Digital Now on YouTube.
Nice. Congratulations. T, say goodbye to the people.
Peace, everyone. Follow me at Tiana Sasha everywhere. Make sure you subscribe and watch and comment everywhere for No Need. And make sure to see us at City Winery July 20th.
Yeah, that's going to be
Get
an amazing
tickets.
Show. Please come out. All the people from Gas are going to be out there. Definitely have a guest list for all my Gas people to come and hang out. It's going to be a fun show, man. Like, Derek and I have really developed a great chemistry that is insane. Right now on stage, I've realized I've been friends with Derek for about 17, maybe 18 years now. There's a certain chemistry there that's just like, oh, wow. Like, other people look at it like, wow, you guys are really, wow. Like, so, yeah, come on out to that. Buy those tickets. Follow me online as I need to get a bigger social media presence at I'm Dave Temple on all social media platforms where it really matters. And follow Derek at The Great Boy as he's out there recovering, probably jet lag somewhere on tour with Pete Davidson. Keep up the good work. Thank you guys for tuning in. I've been the guy. This is No Need for Apologies. Thanks for tuning in. This episode of No Need for Apologies was performed in front of a studio full of people that were half listening while they were working on something else.